Good day, everybody. Welcome to Cow Daily. Today, we're going to talk about the IRA women's football team there. The Irish women's football team singing up the raw. So we're going to have a look at that, break that down, talk about colonialism, reasons why, cultural differences, that kind of thing. Also, Greta Thunberg absolutely eviscerated some ghouls in power who've done nothing about climate change again. So we'll be closing the show with that. It's a longish one, but well worth it. Absolutely love it. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen as a result of it. I just love seeing people getting nailed that desperately. Also, if you could, please comment, rate, and subscribe. If you're watching this or even listening to this, if you could watch these on YouTube, we're just trying to get the channel monetized at the minute, and we're well on our way. So any help, it's in watch hours. We've already got the number of subscribers. Thanks very much for that. We just need to get 4,000 watch hours at the minute. We're about a third of the way there. So if you could help out with that, that would be tremendous and would really help and kick along. So thanks for that. Also, if you want to go to patreon.com/cowdaily, that's patreon.com/cowdaily to support our work directly. Also, if you want to make one-off donation to our work, as several have, go to the link in the description for PayPal and you can do it there. Thanks so much, man. Seriously, love yous and all that good stuff. Gives us just a nice lift, a nice boost. So without further ado, let's see what's been going on. Right, a little bit of scene setting. Irish women's football team. I don't follow anything other than Gateshead FC in the National League, which is the fifth tier of English football. So I've no idea if there's a tournament happening. And to be fair, I'd probably be the same if the World Cup was on. No idea when that's happening either in Qatar. So if it's the Women's World Cup or anything like that, no offence, literally don't follow top level football. So what has happened is this. Firstly, this is what ghouls have a problem with. So that was Irish women's team, not the IRA women's team, but you'd be forgiven for thinking otherwise. So they're singing Ooh Up the Raw, being the IRA or Irish Republican Army. So this caused a bit of a stir when it came out. I believe this is the captain of the Irish women's team on Sky Sports.
Need to ask you about the statement that's just come out from the FAI in which they've apologised for the player singing a song that references the IRA. Would you like to apologise?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're all really sorry here in Dublin. Obviously, massive lapse in judgment on our end. You know, lots going on when the final whistle went, and we absolutely didn't mean to cause any hurt on our end. So we do really apologise for that, absolutely.
How embarrassed are the players by this video?
Yeah, quite embarrassed. You know, there's obviously a lot going on in the change rooms in such a major moment. So lots of different songs, you know, being put on left, right and centre. So, look, we are incredibly embarrassed in this moment in time. Didn't mean any hurt on our end. So we do really apologise for that.
Yeah, I guess it raises the question, does it highlight the need for education on issues like this? Is that something you'd be for?
I don't really think so. I think, you know, we need to learn in these moments to be better and to do better. You know, we've all been brought up knowing a lot about, you know, Irish history. So, you know, we just need to be better in moments like this. And we recognise that absolutely on our end.
Do you think you should know more about Irish history? Well, let's delve into Irish history, shall we? Thanks for the invite, Sky Sports Ghoul. So, for those who don't know, there was what's called a famine, right? Others call it a Holocaust, and call it many other things. What we have here, some of you might know the Rubber Bandits. The Blind Boy podcast is absolutely tremendous. I was actually listening to it yesterday, strangely enough. He was talking about Irish folklore and that, which I've got a passing interest in. But what he's saying is, Blind Boy, the violence and terrorism of imperialism is normalised in parades, statues and songs like Rule Britannia. To even suggest this is offensive it's just accepted as unflinching reality, an unquestioned natural entitlement that rewires our brains to its frame of reality. Indeed, and I think what Airblind Boy's referencing there is the triumphalism around things like Britain's never, never, never shall be slaves, with the implication, of course, yous can all be slaves, but just not us. So moving further on, this is Kiara on Twitter. A British presenter on a British sports show pole-facedly asks an Irish athlete if Irish people need to be educated more by Irish history, whilst Glasnevin Cemetery hums loudly from breakneck spinning within several graves. Just as ever, a lot of the stuff that we do on the Daily Stuff is an open door. Go and research the stuff yourself. So have a look at what Glasnevin Cemetery is and that kind of thing there. So we're looking at this here just now. The Great Irish Famine and the Holocaust. This is from Queen's University, Belfast. So a little excerpt. Put briefly and more bluntly, Professors Charles Rice and Francis Boyle believe the policies pursued by the British government from 1845 to 50 in general constituted genocide. So if we can swap out that word famine for genocide, that would just be bloody lovely. That would be top. There's a great point that's being raised by somebody on TikTok. I'm going to play that for you first. Let us know what you think.
About the win, I do need to ask you if you would like to apologise on behalf of your teammates for walking out onto the pitch wearing a poppy. Precisely just how embarrassed are your team feeling right now?
Embarrassed? What would I be embarrassed for?
Well, as a symbol of the British Armed Forces, to many people around the world, the poppy symbolises brutality, genocide even. Can you understand why people are hurting tonight?
No, because you're winding me up. Listen, I wear this poppy with pride, yeah? I walk out on that pitch and I'm 10 foot tall. I'm 10 foot tall, all right? God save our grand.
Does it highlight the need for education on these issues, such as on the legacy of British Army brutality in countries like Ireland?
Never heard of it.
So, as you can see there, or listen to anyway, that was at anxiously underscore attached on TikTok. So if you want to follow them, that would be cool. They're making a really good point. It's about the iconography of wherever you stand, really. So for some people in Ireland, quite a lot of people, in fact, the poppy symbolises something utterly different than what it does in regards quite a lot of British people. And a lot of that is down education. So I think it's a bit of an interesting point that the Sky Sports presenters talking to an Irish person about, like, do you think you need to know more about Irish history? Do you think you need to know more about Irish history, pal? I mean, I understand that you're just, you know, repeating the questions that you've been served up to ask, but it gets a bit boring, to say the bloody least, to see this kind of unquestioned shit in the British media. I mean, I don't know why she didn't just turn around and tell them, like, where to go. Obviously, they're trying to play a tournament, so they just want to get back to that. But personally speaking, yes, I understand, like, the IRA have done some dirty-ass shit, but that was a war, and there's a load of dirty-ass shit going on, and the IRA didn't form in a vacuum. So if we want to have, like a modern world, a modern society, it would be good if we could actually have these conversations without people, like, losing their minds. Some of you may know about how, well, we're in poppy season, aren't we? Which seems to be like growing more and more and more as the years go on. And I remember, right, when I was a kid, I was in the Cub Scouts and I was a sixer in the Cub Scouts. And I used to carry the Union flag in this old leather like holster thing every, what do they even call it? Memorial Sunday, Remembering Sunday, that's what it is. So like I used to do that. My family background, however, is Irish. My surname is an Irish one. It's not cow. So within my family, though, it's a case in point. There was no discussion of our Irish heritage at all growing up. And I'm going to suggest that's possibly because of when it was going on. A lot of people, because of prejudice towards Irish people, would try and sort of anglicise themselves. And I think that's what happened in our family, if I'm honest. certainly in my close family. And I'm the only one, I think, I mean, my nephew does as well, actually, who takes any kind of interest in what surname, what heritage, anything of that nature. Obviously, that set me off on like a sort of research train, if you want to call it that, when I was younger. And I found out a lot of things that were just not taught in school when we were learning about the British Empire. Nowt. Because I would have had questions, obviously, if I had been taught that, but I wasn't taught anything I can recall, other than kind of, God, isn't this all great? Look at what we did. Say what you want about Hitler, but he made the trains run on time, eh? That kind of shit. As you know, I'm writing a book about the British Empire, and I've managed to pick that up again after being seriously ill, which I'm buzzing about. And a lot of this stuff like is because of my family's sort of wider history. Now, I'm in the process of trying to get an Irish passport as well, so I'll show you it as and when it comes. But that's by the by. So, further stuff on the colonialism side. Here's some more stuff that we can learn together. What we got. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Gaelic for that because I'll butcher it. And like every time a Gaelic word comes up, I must admit, like, I feel gutted that I can't like speak it. You know, there's something like inside, isn't there? So anyway, moving on. Known as the Great Hunger in Ireland, genocide. The Great Famine ravaged Ireland between 1845 and 1852, changing the country reversibly. It's thought Ireland lost around one quarter of its population in these 7 years, either to starvation, disease, or emigration. And many more left Ireland, subsequently finding little left at home to keep them there. It's not known exactly how many people died during the famine, but this is genocide. But it is thought at least 1 million people lost their lives. This was around 12 to 15% of Ireland's population at the time. Ireland's population before the famine was estimated to be 8.4 million people. And by 1851, the population was at around 6.6 million people. As well as people dying, many left the country to search for better lives elsewhere. The genocide has had a lasting effect on the population of Ireland to this day. It dropped to 4.2 million people in 1931, and today around 6.6 million people called Ireland home, still yet to hit pre-famine levels. For comparison, since 1851, the UK's population has risen from 27 million to around 65 million. To escape the effects of the famine, it's thought that as many as 2 million people emigrated from Ireland to the USA and Britain, particularly to port cities like Liverpool. Well, that'd fucking explain a lot there. I don't know if you saw Rangers got beat 7-1 by Liverpool, and the Rangers Ultra tried to attack the Liverpool end. They started singing some wild shit. Go and look into that. But hello, shouts to the Scousers. It goes on, of all the migrants arriving in America between 1851 and 1860, it's estimated that 81%, just under 1 million people, were Irish. Today, one-sixth of Americans, 43 million people, identify as having an Irish background, substantially more than the 6.6 million current population of Ireland. Irish people brought over many traditions that are still popular in the USA, including Halloween, which came from Samhain and All Hallows Eve and St. Patrick's Day. Here's the thing, right? Can you guess why were all those people leaving and why is the Irish population what it is still? This still affects Ireland and the island of Ireland to this day. Like all of that meddling and fuckery and messing around and colonialism to this day still affects Ireland on population. If you look at like the population spread, the countryside, like a lot of other countries, in fact, has depopulated, either moved to the cities or left the country entirely. Wherever you go, you meet an Irish person. I do anyway. And it's just madness. I mean, you look at Glasgow Celtic, which is like sort of a club synonymous with Irish immigration into Glasgow during that time. You always see, like, look around, just mad, like, random events and that. You're seeing people in a Celtic top. It's because that sort of pull back to the home country and motherland's really strong. You look at the president of the United States, Joe Biden. I mean, I'm not a big fan of him at all, but his mother was very anti-British. She was Irish. He's from Irish extraction. And this is affecting the Good Friday Agreement talks and obviously everything around Brexit. There's been quotes from the American end in regards, very stringently how there'll be no trade deal and if there's a problem with the Good Friday Agreement, and rightly so. The British government are continuing to run amok wherever they want to. So, interested in what you've got to say. Let's have a look at the comments. Lawrence Green is saying, technically, the poppy is in support of the fallen, although we need to accept that many of those that fell were carrying out some unimpressive actions. We still need to show support for the fallen and their families in whatever campaign they fell. You make a great point, mate. Here's one for you. My brother, same Irish background and all that, he was in the British Army. He joined the British Army when I was, a teenager. I didn't know shit all when I was like 14 or 15 about any of this. So it's like, oh yeah, off he goes, joining the army. And then and the reason I'm saying this is quite a lot of people, right? Like, especially from like working class backgrounds like mine, they've got no other choice. My brother at the minute, it was late 80s, early 90s then? Probably early 90s more so. And there wasn't many options in the northeast of England around Gateshead at the time. So he went off and he did that. And quite a lot of people that I know did that as well. So you're quite right to point out that there's a very key distinction between the rank and file and people who are calling the shots. People who support the IRA would see a British Army personnel as fair game because it's a theatre of war to them. Rightly or wrongly, you can think whatever you want about that. But the top and bottom of it is always look up, always look at the people at the top. And there we will find the people who are carrying out great acts of genocide. No, not great, but big nevertheless. So you make a great point, Lawrence. Shelley Kelly's in the house. Hello, mate. Afternoon. Woz Morris, A up. Hello, Woz. Nice to see you, pal. So, as I said, a bit of a primer on that one. If you're watching this on the playback, let us know what you think in the comments on the video. It'd be very interested to actually have the discussions that we're having on the comments of the YouTube videos, if we could. That would be brilliant. It would really help with the monetization algorithm thing, because it's about, I'm not even going to bore you with what the details are, but if we could have the conversations on there, that would be magic. So I'd love to go in more depth and maybe share some of the stuff that I'm researching for the book around this stuff there. That would be bloody lush. But before we do, some shows that you can catch up on, pretty evergreen. Can We Trust Keir Starmer? In short, no, so probably don't watch that one. But also done one on Suella Braverman and Rachel Reeves having a cruel off. Welcome to what led to Meloni's far-right government in Italy. Did one that's caused a right stir that went out yesterday with Paul Daly, who is now the outgoing chair of the Sedgefield constituency Labour Party. Which was Tony Blair's old constituency. If you want to know more why him, and there was just a mass resignation. If you don't know want to know why that is, you can obviously catch it on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And please leave us a nice 5-star review. We're gunning for the CIA, but not really release. So don't black bag. We're just trying to get above them in the charts. We're one place off them last night. Seriously, share this with your mates. Tell them all about what we're trying to do. Would love that. Like, imagine being above the CIA. I'd love it. Even if it's just to make me happy, get above the CIA and that. That would be top. Lawrence, just before we move on, replies, you're right, the squad is merely cannon fodder. It's the managers that carry the can. Indeed, the managers are the managers of the establishment, what the establishment wants. We've touched on this recently, the show that I did with Alice the other night, Cow Weekly. We talked about how colonialism has moved on somewhat in a corporate face, specifically talking about Africa. So if you want to know more about that, go to the Cow Weekly one about sub-Saharan Africa just from Tuesday night, I believe it is. Cool. Right, so moving on to the next bit. Just to play it out, it's about 7 minutes long, but I just thought this evisceration by Greta Thunberg was absolutely just brilliant. And as I say, I'm not really sure if anything will happen, but as we look back with the planet on fire in years to go, we will look back on this time as a meteorite smashing her. Anyway, Greta Thunberg, she'll tell you all about it. Thanks for being here, chaps. Much love to you all, and see you tomorrow.
Greta Thunberg, thank you so much for being with us once again. What's your message for us this year?
Thank you for having me. Tomorrow, 150 weeks will have passed since we started the school strike for the climate. And during this time, more and more people around the world have woken up to the climate and ecological crisis, putting more and more pressure on you, the people in power. Eventually, the public pressure was too much, and you had the world's eyes on you. So you started to act. Not acting as in taking climate action, but acting as in role-playing. Playing politics, playing with words, and playing with our future. Pretending to take responsibility, acting as saviors as you try to convince us that things are being taken care of. Meanwhile, the gap between your rhetorics and reality keeps growing wider and wider. And since the level of awareness is so low, you almost get away with it. But let's be clear. What you are doing is not about climate action or responding to an emergency. It never was. This is communication tactics dressed as politics, disguised as politics. You, especially leaders from high-income nations, are pretending to change and listen to the young people while you continue pretty much exactly like before. Pretending to take science seriously by saying science is back, while holding climate summits without even inviting one single climate scientist as speaker. Pretending to wage war against fossil fuels while opening up brand new coal mines, oil fields, and pipelines. You don't only continue business as usual as before, in many cases, you're even speeding up and scaling up the process. Pretending to have the most ambitious climate policies while granting new oil licenses, exploring future oil fields. Bragging about your so-called ambitious climate commitments, which, if you look holistically, are vastly insufficient, and then get caught not even trying to reach those targets. Pretending to care about nature and biodiversity while the world is cutting down a forest area the size of a football field every second. Pretending to be a climate leader while locking in a future common agricultural policy that will make the Paris Agreement impossible to reach. Pretending that you will build back better after the pandemic, even though astronomical sums of money have already been locked in, and not in green projects, whatever green means. The G7, as an example, is spending billions more on fossil fuels and fossil fuel infrastructure than on clean energy. This you compensate with beautiful words and promises that someone in the future will somehow undo your actions and make them net zero. And when your empty words are not enough, when the protests grow too loud, you respond by making the protests illegal. Of course, we welcome all efforts to safeguard future and present living conditions, and these distant net zero emissions targets could be a great start if they weren't full of gaps and loopholes, like leaving out emissions from imported goods, international aviation and shipping, as well as the burning of biomass, using baseline manipulation, excluding most feedback loops and tipping points, ignoring the crucial aspect of equity and historic emissions, as well as making these targets completely relying on fantasy scale, currently barely existing negative emissions technologies. But as your acts continue, more and more of us are seeing through your manuscripts and your role playing. The gap between your actions and words is becoming more impossible to ignore, while more and more extreme weather events are raging all around us. And as a result, young people all over this planet are no longer falling for your lies. You are distancing yourself further and further away from us and from reality. Some years ago, you could still claim that we're moving in the right direction. Today, that is no longer possible. 2021 is currently forecasted to be the year with the second highest emission rise ever. You say we need to move slowly to peak, to bring the public along. However, how do you honestly expect to bring the people along if you don't treat this crisis like a crisis? If it is one thing the pandemic has proven once and for all, it is that the climate and ecological emergencies have never once been treated as emergencies. The climate crisis is today, at best, being treated only as a business opportunity to create new green jobs, new green businesses and technologies. As the pandemic unfolded, you did not say this will benefit the face mask manufacturing industry or this will create new jobs in healthcare and hospitals. Taking bold climate action will naturally bring many advantages and benefits. Yet, needless to say, we will not be able to solve a crisis we do not treat as a crisis and that we do not understand the magnitude of. Perhaps playing a role helps you sleep at night. Saying things just for the sake of it, because the words are in your scripts. But while you are busy working the stage, you seem to forget that the climate crisis is not something distant in the future. It is already taking so much from the most affected people in the most affected areas. This might just be a game to you, a game to win votes, popularity, points on the stock market, or your next high-paid position in a company or lobbying firm. The ones who focus on the packaging rather than on the actual content, and the ones with the most beautiful speeches and the most short-sighted, likable policies wins. You can and will, of course, choose to continue to play your parts, say your lines and wear your costumes. You can and will continue to pretend. But nature and physics will not fall for it. Nature and physics are not entertained nor distracted by your theater. The audience has grown weary. The show is over. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I was going to end the show there because obviously it's like a banger line from Greta at the end, but I noticed some more of your comments that popped up. And I did want to actually just cover that and bring it up. Michael Dines, the big man himself, he's saying, good day to all. I too am from Irish descent. My father was Irish. My great aunt was awarded a medal for standing up to the black and tans as they tried to force their way into the hospital where she worked as a nurse. I do not wear a poppy. I've seen too much hypocrisy concerning the medal. Look at how we exploit the arms trade. I've stood at the cenotaph watching local councillors squabbling who should lay their wreath first. Lest we forget is meaningless. We never tried. I too am going. I hear you, mate. I've seen things like that. Like a lot of the remembrance stuff, I see it with certain people, is it's just performative, isn't it? It's like, I remember where the poppy when I was younger, and I did used to wear one, even when I started developing a consciousness around colonialism, because it was for people like my brother. But at the same time, as I got older, I then realized that for some, it's bloodstained, isn't it? And we need to actually have a proper discussion about this. Now, just on that, I saw this cool tweet from somebody called Crement Communard on Twitter last night, somebody who used to live in France. She was saying when she lived there in France, and I've experienced this myself, I've been to France probably more times than any other country or spent more time there other than the UK at least. And the way people talk about politics there is interesting generally, and this is what this tweet thread corroborated as well, whereas people in the UK, it's like life or death and you want to throttle people. Whereas in France, people always talk about politics. It's not like this kind of taboo thing. Quite often they disagree and then they do the kisses on the cheek, shake the hands and off the go, no harm done, generally. And I think we need to be getting towards that. So just on that, Michael, if you and others as well, when this video comes out, I'll post it, like, because it gets re-uploaded and trimmed and certain edits done to it after the live. When it comes out, if you could start comment, like even posting the same comment on that video, because I want to explore things further there. And obviously it will help us with the monetization soon. So if we could do that, that would be absolutely top. A few more comments before we leave. StreamYard's having a mad one. Mazzy saying, thanks on YouTube. Thanks for the comment on YouTube as well, mate. Nice one. Robert Grady, gotta love Greta. Certainly do, Robert, but I love you commenting on YouTube even more there, War Kid. Cheers, pal. Maria Nelson on Facebook as well. They're depopulating us. Maria, I don't know who you mean. If you let us know who they are and send some evidence through, I'll definitely have a look at it, mate. And this isn't one of those, fucking hell. I'll look at it, and if we can evidence base it, we'll run it on the show. So let me know, pal. Anyway, if you go to patreon.com/cowdaily, that's patreon.com/cowdaily to support our work directly. Or if you want to leave a one-off donation, go to the link in the description for PayPal, and there you can find it. Use some of the good people here as we play out. Big up to the MTC patrons. Much love to all as ever, and we definitely will see you tomorrow this time. Bye-bye.